What do I do to calm myself down when I'm feeling stressed and anxious? And for me, being in nature has always been that. That's been my sacred ground, my place where I just find that calmness. And so she challenged me to go into the woods every day for 30 days. And I pushed back initially, but eventually I leaned in.
Welcome to Into the Light podcast. This is where we will be discussing and exploring all things ascension. Ascension journey mapping, and understanding how we can deepen and increase our spiritual and healing journey, along with understanding concepts around the global consciousness awakening that's happening, quantum energy healing, personal growth and enlightenment, trauma healing, and so much more as we learn together from experts in the field. I'm your host, Adina Movana, and I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Let's dive in.
Today we have Anita Adams, and for those of you who don't know, Anita is the essence of a digital nomad. She's a spiritual entrepreneur, an award-winning leader, and in the early days of the pandemic, she faced and conquered a paralyzing anxiety about the uncertain future. Not only did she close the national nonprofit she had dedicated 18 years to, but she also transitioned as an empty nest, rising like a phoenix from this transformational period. Anita emerged as a life and leadership coach. Her profound mission is to guide individuals in connecting with their higher selves, unlocking clarity of purpose, and cultivating the courage and confidence to embrace that purpose. Yay! Thank you so much, Anita. I'm so excited to have you here.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It's a beautiful introduction. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, and also I wanted to say you also have your Joyful Journey podcast, as well as an award-winning author of the book Whispers of the Soul. That was released pretty recently, is that right?
It's just coming out actually. Yeah, just releasing it now.
So oh, it's
just
in the
like,
process.
wow.
Oh my gosh. Okay, amazing. Yeah, that's very exciting. So this is a good time to have this conversation and talk a little bit
It
more
is.
about your work. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. It's great to be here and great to connect with a community that is so interested in that personal spiritual growth. I love what you've built and what you're leaning into. It's pretty awesome, Adina.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. And I know we've been following each other for a few months, and you're always putting up so many inspirational content and quotes and things like that across all the social platforms, and talking about burnout and preventing this kind of life crisis, and especially coming out of this pandemic. So yeah, tell me a little bit about like how you got into this work. I know I touched on it a little bit, how you had your nonprofit for so many years, 18 years. So what really got you into this groove that you're in now with being an inspired leader and coach?
Thanks. It's so interesting, eh? How life throws things at you and it can send you in a like a tailspin of anxiety and fear. And then at the end of the day, or in my case, end of months and months and months, you come out, like you say, you kind of rise above it and you learn and you grow and you step into something even more powerful and more meaningful. And that's what I feel has happened with my life. I had built a nonprofit from the ground up, something I was very proud of, and something that gave me a lot of my own personal identity. And then when the pandemic hit, it was like overnight, the carpet was pulled from underneath me. All of my funders had pulled out, and I was going deeper into debt, and I was responsible for my staff, my team across the country. And I just felt this burden, this weight of now what? What am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? How am I going to pull this through? What am I going to do? And just really lost in all of that. And then I went on this inward looking journey that was encouraged by my business coach. She actually sent me into the forest, me
forest,
into the
right?
woods.
Connect with nature
and
a little bit.
Connect with nature. It started with her asking me, what do I do to calm myself down when I'm feeling stressed and anxious? And for me, being in nature has always been that. That's been my sacred ground, my place where I just find that calmness. And so she challenged me to go into the woods every day for 30 days. And I pushed back initially, but eventually I leaned in and took her up on the challenge. And there was so much clarity that came to me during that time. And in making that time, and I guess this is what I really want your viewers and listeners to take away, is to, if you're lost or confused or uncertain about the direction you need to go in, or even how to move in a direction, then the key is to really make time for yourself. Create some space where you can quiet out all the noise, the busyness that's constantly around us, and just invest time with self to understand what's important to you and what you really want. And that's what, in essence, that's what my business coach was trying to get me to do. And even though I was like, what kind of business coach sends her client into the forest when I need business advice, not nature therapy? But seriously, it was the best advice I think I've ever got from any kind of coach in my entire life, is just to get out and away, unplug, and get connected. Get connected to who you really are, what you want, and why it's important. So that was a transition for me, you know?
Yeah. And so many of us struggle to make even that time in our day to just get out to nature. Even doing little things is hard sometimes. What do you say to your clients who are struggling with just in this doer mentality and piling on more and more things, kind of in this, I feel like a lot of us are, especially women, we have this sort of balancing that we're going through of our masculine energies, which is pushing us to do more and be more and have this success that's like kind of in our masculine. Yeah. So is that something you talk a lot about with your clients on how to get away from some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we live in a hustle society, don't we? It's our culture. It's like push, push, push. We wear the busy badge, like a badge of honor. It's what we've been taught all of our life, that if we're not productive, we're not as worthy. And it's a big shift that we need to make. So yeah, this is a conversation I have with all my clients all the time. It's a big part of my the workshops that I offer. It's about making time for yourself. Really, you know what? We've lost the art of getting bored, and we need to get bored. We need to stop filling the space with busyness all the time. Like even when we have our downtime, we plug in a podcast. I'm guilty of this. Like I feel like I need to be constantly learning. I need to be constantly doing. I have to always remind myself to just don't do that. Just earbuds out and sit and stare out the window. Go for a walk. Take time to unplug, because when you unplug, that's when you find creativity. That's when you have the energy to then move forward, find solutions to problems that you've been trying to overcome. That's when magic happens. But we have to give ourselves space for that. And when you do give yourself space for that, you become infinitely more productive. It's amazing. Yet, even I have to remind myself constantly to make time to do this, because I get so driven to get the next thing done. And my list of things is a mile high. Like all of us, I imagine your list is huge of what you need to get done or you feel you need to do. It really is endless. And yet, the single most important thing you could do for yourself, and for if you're a business person or you've got a big project or a dream that you're moving forward, that you're wanting to move forward with, is to stop and make time to just be quiet and to sit in stillness. Or I like to walk in stillness, if you will. That's where I find my inner peace, clarity, and confidence. Confidence comes from that time as well. So.
Wow. Yeah. And like inspired thought or actions that end up coming in when we're in our more, like, that's why meditation or this kind of space is good. I find that I have my best ideas. Totally. I like to also take like showers is another thing I like to do, self-care, any of those things really. Right.
Absolutely. I saw a meme on, I think it was Instagram, or no, it was LinkedIn, whatever. It was an image of a faucet that was just like a little drops of water one at a time coming out. Next to it was a waterfall, like this energy of water pouring over this dam. And the caption read something like, under the water faucet, it was creativity while sitting in a meeting, and under the waterfall, creativity while walking in nature. And I'm like, yes,
that sums it up. Yeah, that sums it up. Oh my gosh, so true. Yeah, and so tell me, are you primarily working, like doing executive coaching, or are you working with entrepreneurs who are doing their businesses? Like, who's your clients right now? Like, are they people doing like a career shift or having a burnout type of experience?
Right. Primarily the clients that I'm working with are people that are looking for more clarity on whether it's they're in midlife and they're looking for a change and they're not sure what direction that they want to go in, or that they know what they want to do. They just don't know how to get there. They don't know what the next steps are to take them there. And often they lack the confidence. There's some fear that is blocking them from moving forward. I'm excited mostly about working with people that have a big vision that they're wanting to move into. Let me rephrase that. I'm most excited about working with individuals who want to make an impact, make a positive difference in the world. They might not have the knowledge of what they're going to do yet, but they know they want to be somebody who's going to make a difference somehow in the lives of others. I love working with clients like that. I get jazzed when I have the opportunity to help them overcome their hurdles, help them find the clarity of their message and what they're trying to bring into the world, and then powerfully move into their purpose and create meaning and impact and joy, because there's so much joy that comes from really stepping into what you were created to be in this world.
Yeah, amazing. And you mentioned the midlife crisis, sort of. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that really means, because I'm approaching 40, and I think you're in the fifth range, right? And what are we really looking at when we're talking about women or people going through this midlife crisis? Because it's termed so negatively. So how do we
understand that? And I'm not a fan of midlife crisis, that term. I like transition, midlife transition. And in fact, we transition throughout life. Like, there's constant transitions and we're constantly evolving and growing. I love working with women that are in that stage where in 40s, 50s, and 60s, that's ideal, because we're so powerful in that stage in our life. We've had some incredible life experiences already. Many of us have children that have then, they're not needing us as much, or like me, have become empty nesters. And there's that feeling initially when that happens is like, okay, like now what? Like my identity is tied up with being a mother, or in my case, I became an empty nester and no longer the executive director of a national nonprofit all at the same time. My kids decided to fly the coop and my business was crumbling. So that just like, it was like, wow, who am I? What am I here to do? And I went through, I guess you would say that was a crisis for me. And there was a lot of anxiety. So I think any kind of time in our life when we are transitioning, maybe it's going through a divorce, that's a big transition, or leaving or starting a new relationship, moving into a new home or a new city. These are big transitions that can have an impact on us and leave us wondering, what now? How do I move forward? So the transitions really vary from person to person. And how we manage those transitions, though, really, again, it's about quieting and coming down into self, into who you really are, and getting clear about your values and what do you really want? What do you want to, how do you want to live your life? Something, I may be jumping ahead, but if I can share this one beautiful little technique that I teach my clients to do when they're not sure what the next thing is for them. They're trying to find clarity of the direction to take. Like they're so lost and uncertain. It's a beautiful practice called joy spotting. And joy spotting is the simple art of noticing moments in the day that bring you joy. And in doing this, you will discover clues about what's important to you and how you want to invest your time and the direction you might you might lean in. So it's, if that's you or any of the listeners here that are trying to figure out what next, invest a little time joy spotting. And I encourage my clients to keep a joy journal. So at the end of each day, just reflect back on the moments of joy that happened in the day and just write them down. You can write them down as if somebody told you a joke, write the joke out. Or if it was just a moment of one of the things that brings me great joys is noticing things in nature, like hummingbirds and eagles flying or whatever. Like I love that. And I know, and when doing that joy journal, the first time I started doing that, I realized nature, how important nature really is to me, and that I need to invest time in nature every single day. So, now that's what I guide my, I lead retreats and I take people out into nature because I love it.
I love it. I was listening to the radio in the morning, driving my kids to school. And I kid you not, that joy, I don't know if they use the word joy spotting, but they cited a study where it improved people like 26% happier when they did this small practices of recognizing joy in others. Awesome. And around them. It was totally just this morning. I don't remember exactly, but it's funny that this synchronicity now is talking about that. It today. But yeah, mental health, and I just think it's a common theme, and people are becoming more and more aware of that. These little things that we should be doing. And tell me a little bit about the inner healing work that needs to occur in this, in the times of these transitions or these kind of crises that might be occurring, and like why it's so important to take these opportunities to heal or start looking inward. Or you hear a lot about mindset coaching and overcoming these limiting beliefs and things. So tell me, like, what kind of deep kind of trauma or work do we end up having to do at this time when we're facing these challenges?
Yeah. Let me start by saying that the work I do is not so much focused on healing trauma.
Oh yeah.
I'll work with clients that if they've got something that they need to work through, absolutely. I will often recommend somebody else if they need to go deeper with some healing work. The work I do primarily is focusing on the future. How do we move forward through fears? First it starts with finding the clarity of what it is that you want, who you are, what you want, and why it matters. That's the first thing. And then the next thing I work on with my clients is creating a strategy to move forward. And if there is deep healing that needs to be done there, then I encourage working with a therapist, because that's looking into your past, into the wounds. I mean, we all have micro traumas in our life, and so I can work with a client on that level. And the work I do here is primarily helping to shine a light in the dark places where my clients can then explore themselves. So I'll ask questions to guide them and work with them as they're walking through something that might be very challenging. But again, if we're talking like deep trauma, then that's not me. That's not the work I do.
Right. Yeah, I get it. But it's still so important to have like a support system in place, or have a go-to person during that time, because a lot of us will hear things like a study on the radio or these things, but then implementing it in the day-to-day life, or even I imagine accountability and things like that is very
there is a lot of fear that emerges when you are looking at transitioning, or you're looking at a dream that you want to step into. So that there is healing that needs to happen around the fears. So the way I look at it is I'm basically walking with you, walking with my clients into those dark corners to examine the fears and then explore ways to move through them. I think a lot of people feel that they need to be fearless in order to create the life of their dreams, and that's a fallacy. But courage is the intersection between fear and determination. And some of the most accomplished people in our world were not fearless. They were courageous. They walked through or walked into the dark and created something meaningful and did something impactful in the world. So that's, you know, I just want to emphasize that, because there's, when I work with some of my clients, they're like, I'm too afraid to do this, and I need to get over this fear. And it's like, you need to acknowledge that you have the fear, and then let's explore ways to work with it or move through it.
Yeah. Like you hear about moving, going through it, not around it, or you can't bypass those
exactly.
feelings, right?
Yeah.
Feeling comes exactly. when you go through it, not around whatever. I don't know. I feel like it's a common saying, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You get it.
I get it. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the Joyful Journey podcast that you do, because I know it's a great show. I was a guest as well.
Yes.
I love it. I love that experience. But what made you create the podcast, and who do you typically bring on, and for what purpose when you're doing all of your podcast work?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking that question. Can I share just a little story that leads into answering that question?
Yeah, for sure. Please.
Okay. So when I was transitioning, when I ultimately decided to close my business and trying to figure out what else am I going to do, I started to really lean in and listen to what I call the whispers of the soul, which is the title of my book, Whispers of the Soul. And I was guided to teach other people how to listen to that part of themselves that really understands who they are, what they want, and why it matters. And when I first got that whisper, I pushed it away. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Who am I to do that? That's big, that's scary. And I had that big monstrous fear hanging over my head, and it was fear of ridicule. Like, who am I to do that? And I came from the film industry. All my contacts were film people. And are they gonna like mock me? Who is Anita to think she's some kind of spiritual guru? So I had that inner dialogue that was going on in my head. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success even. How would that change me? My husband, he's more science-minded and I'm more spiritually minded. If I really lean into this, is this going to change our relationship? So there's all this fear that happened, and I didn't know how I could even do it. And that's the other trick. We get so caught up sometimes in how are we going to do something that we allow the not understanding how to stop us. So I pushed this wisdom, this inner wisdom direction away for a whole year. I kept saying, no, that's not mine to do. That feels too big. That's scary. And then one day I was kayaking. I was actually on a kayaking trip with my husband, and it was a month long kayaking trip. So it was a pretty epic, big trip. And it's the first time I had ever done something of this magnitude, this big. And it was day 21, and I'm sitting in my kayak, and it's super calm and peaceful and beautiful. And it's just me and my husband out on the Pacific Ocean, and their seals were in the water to the one side, and the eagles flying. And it was just, I just felt so at peace and in awe of this environment and in awe of what I had accomplished, that I had actually done. I had gone, by this point, it was almost 300 kilometers, 250 miles up the coast, that I had gone on my own power, something I never thought I could have ever done before. And in that moment, I sat and I thought, I wonder what else I'm telling myself I can't do. And in that moment, I realized that I have had held on to so many limiting beliefs about what is possible for my life. And then I heard that inner voice tell me it was time to lean in and listen to this calling to teach people how to tap into their inner wisdom. And I decided, okay, Anita, enough is enough. It's time to really. And the first thing that I decided I was going to do was to launch a podcast and teach people how to access inner wisdom through the podcast. And I realized that I also needed a lot of learning to do. There was a lot of growth that had spiritual and personal and professional growth that I needed to go through. And I thought a podcast is a perfect platform for that, because I can bring guests in, interview them, and learn from these amazing experts that and thought leaders that come to my show to share their wisdom with my audience. And so I'm inviting my audience to join me on this journey to our highest selves together. And it feels like a journey that I'm doing with people. Like I'm not the guru. I am the journeyer that is going with you on a really awesome quest to discover our highest self. So that's the start of that journey of putting that podcast together. And it's been now over 2 years. I've had some incredible guests on my show, yourself included, obviously, and we've had some great conversations, and I've had people from all over the world participate. I interviewed a wonderful human being, a rabbi from Israel last month, and I just loved our conversation. And it was just such an incredible opportunity to learn and grow and connect. I love the connection with other like-minded individuals, and it gives me strength, and I know it's giving my audience strength. I feel like we are raising the collective consciousness together by just having these conversations or listening to conversations and going inward and thinking, how does that apply to me and all this stuff? So there you go.
Yeah, I love that. And building bridges and closing gaps between different people who are all spiritually minded in some way or have a soul purpose that they're trying to bring out into the world. So I really love that. And it resonates with me because also with my podcast and my show, it's kind of like a learning journey that you take along the way. Like I'm interviewing so many interesting healers and practitioners and learning these subjects and then trying to accelerate this kind of spiritual awakening process or bring this knowledge to the world. So I feel like that is a mission that so many of us are on. We're doing this work. So I just love that.
Me too. It's exciting. We're living in an exciting time. It feels like a great awakening. And it's very cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, totally. And tell me about the Whispers of the Soul book that you have coming out. Because I haven't seen it, obviously. It's just being published or put out now, published. And is it more like a guide step-by-step on how to do things or like a combination with your story and your memoir, or like, what is it exactly?
Yeah, it's my personal story, and it's a guide. It includes a downloadable workbook that will walk you through the steps that I teach. It's basically my program that I teach. I call it the Wisdom Way is the program. I believe there are two ways of being in the world. There's the foolish way, which most of us are in most of the time, which is the unconscious way. We make choices often unconsciously. We act unconsciously a lot of the time. And then there's the wisdom way of being, and that's the conscious way of being. And our job, I see, is for us to transition from that the foolish way of being, the unconscious way of being, to a more conscious, intentional way of living. So my book is largely about that process. And I share a lot of personal stories and anecdotes. And I think I infuse a little bit of humor in there. My husband is a main character in the story. Much to his dismay, I think. No, he gives me full support. But yeah, so that's the journey. And the book, I have just brought on a publisher. I was going to go the self-publishing route. And then I found this publisher that I got really excited about, and they got really excited about me. And so that delayed things a little because we wanted to tweak how we were going to release it. So I was supposed to release initially January 30th, which is, and my apologies, I should have you know that in advance. And so now we're just in the process of doing the launch strategy and aiming for the end of this month to release the book. So if anybody who is listening is interested in learning more about my book and the work I do, I would encourage them to go to my website and get onto my mailing list. I send out a weekly wisdom to my subscribers. And then you'd also find out about the book when it comes out. And that's, is it okay if I share this?
Yeah, please. I mean, I'm going to share the links too as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, go ahead. Where do they find you if they
want to
learn more?
Go to joyfulin.com. And that's where you'll find all the information about the work I do and my book. Some information about my book is up there. And I have a free download for people if they're interested in really learning how to tap into that part of themselves that can help create the clarity and the courage and the confidence to step into the best version of you. And there's a prompt that automatically comes up when you go to my website that will ask if you want to get that free download. So check that out. And yeah, there's some good wisdom nuggets there that I think you and your listeners may enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. I love how you talk about this way that we're moving from the, you know, maybe inner critic or that like mm-hmm. limiting beliefs, like moving from that path into this higher consciousness, elevated highest self, or I think inner wisdom type of path that you describe. And tell me about the work that you do around our ego, or, I mean, some people from different spiritual and religious traditions. I mean, there, I feel like all of it is trickled in with the importance of doing that work on your ego, or like ego mastery and that kind of thing. Do you go into the areas in which we're doing that work and how important it is?
A little bit. Yeah, that's a big part of that. I was talking about the foolish way of being and the wisdom way of being. So the ego dominates the foolish way of being. And the ego is awesome. The ego is what keeps us safe, right? So the ego is not a bad thing. Where I invest time on in my book and in my teaching is really to help people distinguish between those different voices that we hear in our head, the voice of the ego on the one hand, and the voice of the inner wisdom on the other hand. And we want to learn to really tune into that other voice, that voice of inner wisdom. And there's a real simple way of determining, well, takes a little bit of practice, but it's relatively simple. And that is that the ego, the voice of your inner critic and the ego, which is often one, comes from a place of fear. So when you hear that voice, it's often coming from a place of fear, wanting to protect you, wanting to keep you in the familiar, what you, your ego knows is comfortable and familiar. Whereas the voice of inner wisdom always, 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 always comes from a place of love, and it will speak to you of your potential. Now, that might scare you. It might create fear, but that fear, so that's the tricky part, is deciphering, is that fear because it's uncomfortable, or is it fear because it's the ego that is trying to keep you down, right? So it takes practice to understand that and really get attuned to what is speaking to you, your inner voice of wisdom or your inner critic, your ego. But it's doable, very doable. And so that's the angle I take in talking to my clients and in my book about how to work with the ego and how to identify those voices that are trying to direct you or misdirect you.
Right. And also in that process, like, I think we all go through this self-love or effort. People talk about the importance of doing this inner work and maybe talk a little bit about why the self-love piece is so important when connecting to this inner wisdom, and how can we really align with that and kind of boost that up rather than listening to that inner fool.
Thanks for asking this, Adina. Self-love is really the foundation of the work I do, is helping people tap into and build their love for self, because it's only in love for self, like a deep love for self, that you become unshakable in the pursuit of your dreams, in the pursuit of doing something big in the world, in creating a life that you love. It has to start with that love of self. And unfortunately, we live in a society that doesn't encourage that. Like, it's almost looked at as love of self, like what you do to create love of self. Some people think is considered selfishness, like just making time for yourself.
What, or I talked ego about based. It, an ego is confused. Totally. Yeah,
exactly. So what I was talking about at the beginning of the show is making time for yourself to like just step away and unplug. That's an act of love for self, right? It's saying, I'm worthy of having time for myself to do something that lifts me up, that feels good, that is about me. And when we have that, when we really focus on building that love of self, when we stand in a place of love, we find confidence, we find the confidence we need, the courage we need to move forward We really do. We move through our limiting self-beliefs, and we move through around over fear, right? We're able to move through fear, and you can become fearless when you have a deep, deep love of self. You don't have to be fearless to achieve your goals, but you can become fearless when you really deepen your love for self. So this is essential. And it, when you have a deep love of self, it opens that channel. I think of our ability to receive guidance, divine guidance, inner wisdom. So I talk about inner wisdom, divine guidance, God, source, universe. To me, it's all one of the same. Whatever your language, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your language is. But to me, it's about opening your heart to receive. And the more we stand in a place of love, the more we're able to open our receiver bigger. Like we've got like a wide open receiver, and we're able to download the messages we need to help us move forward. And in that comes that confidence and the courage that I was talking about. So self-love is essential. The theme of self-love is woven throughout my book. I am somebody that did not love herself for a very, very, very long time. I would look in the mirror and cry at the woman looking back at me. I would defer to everybody else's opinions and what they thought I should do, because I didn't have enough love and respect for self. I just about destroyed my marriage because I didn't have enough love and respect for self. So I have learned, and I still have more room to go. And in fact, I don't think we can ever maximize how much love we have for self. There's always room to love ourselves more. And so my journey in the book is a love journey, a self-love journey. And it's essential, absolutely essential for creating a life with meaning, well-being, and joy. It starts with a deep love for self. And it's a beautiful journey to go on. I like to look at it like it's a love affair with yourself, trying to get to know yourself, and like you would try to get to know a new lover. It's very exciting. It's a beautiful, beautiful journey to be on.
Yeah. And I think people talk a lot about authenticity and coming into mm-hmm. alignment with our authenticity and that being of the highest vibration. When we talk about like attracting and how to come from a place of expressing ourselves in this place of authenticity, and maybe even like the challenge sometimes in this process when you're having to shed away or kind of break down, like peel away different layers of program belief systems or things that we've been, you know, constructed in our own minds, and that these things are often the things that have to shed away and move in order to get to that authentic state in this process of self-love, mm-hmm. right?
And awareness is key, right? Like being aware of, like you're talking about, the things that we have to shed. Often it's we have to shed the negative self-talk about ourselves, how we view ourselves, how we think about the person that we are. So we need to, that inner critic, that voice that tells us we're not enough, we're not smart enough, talented enough, whatever enough, and just acknowledge it. It's like, okay, that's the fear, the inner critic, the one that's trying to keep me safe from moving forward. Recognize that and just try to change the stories and the dialogue that's happening. And the way to do that is to really just notice it first. Just pay attention to the kind of language you're using about yourself.
Should be like this, like things about ourselves. But then also, I know you mentioned your marriage and your partnership. Mm-hmm. Like I find it challenging when we have to break down those, oh, well, he should be doing more from this, or this isn't enough for that. And it's kind of like so much of the healing work comes from that. People are talking a lot about boundaries and like what is our relationships that we're going to be like building, and how do we create these things when we're having to go through this process of understanding, oh, well, my program is telling me that my partner should be like this, but they're thinking that it should be like, you know what I mean? It's just so much of the conflict comes from those places, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so much can be avoided by simply having a conversation with your partner instead of thinking, oh, they should be doing this. Ask them. That was a big thing for my husband and I. And my husband, I'm happy to say, like, we worked things through, and we've now been together 36 years, and it's been freaking amazing. Like, I have such the most beautiful relationship. We went through a really, really hard time about 15 years ago where I thought it was going, we were going to go separate ways. Thank God we saw the errors of our way, and the errors, a big, big part of the errors of the way was not communicating what we really wanted from each other, because I thought he should know. If he really loved me, he would understand what I want. And he was probably thinking the same thing, because we didn't really share what we needed from the other person. And even today, like I said, we've been together forever. And sometimes I catch myself, I was like slamming the cupboards because trying to send the message that he should be cleaning the kitchen. Instead, what I've learned, and I sometimes have to remind myself, is just to say, hey, Tom, do you mind taking care of the dishes today? And he'll be like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Instead of me thinking that he has to figure out what it is that I need from him, I've learned to ask, this is what I need from you. Sometimes I'll even say, I need more attention. I'll just show me some affection today. I want to hold your hand more. I really need to feel loved. There's nothing wrong with asking your partner what you want. And it comes, but you need to know what you want first. And that's, I didn't know what I wanted before. I know what I want now. I'm not shy right. to ask for it.
back to the self-love concept, or that self-concept that we're creating. Yeah. And so much of it is like we build up a lot of internalized resentment in that process if it's not being released and communicated. And it seems like that's really where things that go unhealed get worse and worse before they get better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So understanding what it is you want and then communicating it with your partner or the people that you love is essential for any good relationship, be it one in marriage or one with your children or in a business. You have to know what you want, and then you have to be able to communicate it effectively.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, are you helping your clients then in all of these different areas? Like, where do you see the transformations occurring, and how long do you generally work with people in your coaching programs? And I don't know if you do, it sounds like a lot of one-on-one work, but if you also do group programs, what do you end up like taking people from where they are now to where they're going to be, and how long does it usually take for that process?
Yeah, I request a minimum of 3 months to work with somebody, because I don't feel you can see the transformation that you really want in under the 3 months. Right. And the work I'm primarily doing is working with people in clarifying the vision that they have of what they really want, and then executing, creating a plan that helps them move forward boldly, confidently towards fulfilling their vision. And I have some clients that they make that milestone, and then they want to continue to work with me for another 3, another 6, or whatever bunch of time, because it's a journey. And I love that. I love working. You could work with me literally forever if you wanted to. That's maybe a bit far fetched, but my point is that we continue to evolve, and I love working with clients who have bigger and bigger dreams, and I can help guide them along that process. But usually anywhere between 3 months minimum to a year is very common. Working with me for longer is an option though as well.
Nice. Yeah. And how much, like, I know we talked a little bit about the different types of like processes and like things that you teach them along the way. And I don't know, do you help create daily tasks, or what really like is your support and accountability system when they're doing this with you?
It depends on what it is that the client is working for, but in a sort of very general sense, the first and foremost thing is getting really clear on the vision. So sometimes that happens snap. We've got the clarity. Sometimes it's a month or longer where we're working together to finesse what it is that you really want. What's the direction that you really want to go in? And then really getting focused. The more focused and specific that you can be with creating a plan, then it's easier to speak to your audience and find your audience for what it is that you have to offer, what you have to bring into the world. And so let me clarify that a little bit. Most of the people that I work with are people that are wanting to bring something into the world. So often it's about clarifying their message so that they can reach people with what they want to do. And that can take a lot of time too, and just in tweaking. So we'll work with different finessing the messaging so it really speaks to the people that they're trying to attract for the project or the work that they're wanting to do. The next step is to either identify what are the barriers that are holding you back. And that's actually a big one. In fact, every client that I've worked with, there's something that is feeling like they're kind of going like this against, and then we got to figure out what is that barrier? What is the fear that is holding you back? And when we're in that kind of work, there's a lot of talk about the spiritual practice. So that's a real important part of what I bring to the table. It's not just about life and leadership coaching or business coaching. It's the spiritual element to that coaching, to that work, because I firmly believe that when we are tuned in to that part of ourself, that core spiritual core of who we are, that's where we find the answers, that's where we find the clarity and the direction. So sometimes we need to really work on developing our spiritual practice. And I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about creating a practice that helps you connect to that part of who you are so you can find the clarity and the confidence to move forward. And then from there, we develop a strategy to what are the steps now, and focusing on just the single next step. We'll map out, like, these are the steps that will get you to here. This is the step you need to take. This is what you just focus on this one thing right now. What I've discovered, and maybe you're familiar with this too, is that some people get so lost in the big picture, it feels overwhelming, that they can't move forward, they're stuck. So we can look at the big picture and have ideas for milestones that we're trying to achieve, but then we let go of that and we focus on the single next step. And then I work with that individual in a partnership to get them through that next step. And then we look at the next step and then the next step, which is why working with me can be 3 months and we get to that goal, or we can be working together for a couple of years to get you to continue to move forward with your big, beautiful goal that you want to create in this world. So,
yeah, that's amazing, because I know there's a lot of strategy involved with that process of building something. And I imagine you also work with people who are maybe launching their own, I don't know, like we talked about our heart-led businesses, or yeah, maybe moving into coaching. Like, what kind of businesses are you really helping the clients launch or move? Like, are they leaving a corporate career and then doing something more entrepreneurial? Is that usually what they're creating in this process?
Most of them are entrepreneurs, and they're looking at either they are in a field and they're wanting to level up, they're wanting to become leaders with bigger impact, or they have transitioned and they're trying to launch something new for themselves. And they're all spiritual minded. I'm attracting, that's who I am. So I'm attracting spiritually minded individuals who want to make an impact in the world. And it ranges from, I've got a couple coaches that are starting off in their coaching practice. I've got a lovely woman who is moving in the realm of Reiki and tarot reading and doing this kind of work to help our clients. And yeah, but they're all heart driven, spirit minded individuals who want to have an impact in the world.
Amazing. I love that. I love it. Well, okay. Sounds great, Anita. I'm so glad we got to dive in a little bit more and hear about it, all the work that you're doing and the type of clients that awesome. You're seeing and helping change the world and do this work. Yeah. Awesome. So Where's the best place? I know you mentioned that I'm going to have a couple of links here, but if I know you have your LinkedIn and your social media, where's the best place for someone to reach out? Maybe, I don't know if you schedule calls or anything like that if someone's interested.
I do. I recommend visiting my website, starting
Yeah.
there, because I've got all the information and ways to connect with me there. And you could also find my podcast on the website and information about the book. And it's all centralized in one place. And that again, that address is joyfulinspiredliving.com.
Okay, awesome, awesome. All right, well, we have a couple minutes. I don't know if we have any questions. If people want to chime in, they're free to, but otherwise, I like to give us a couple minutes to just wrap up. And maybe if you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share with the audience for anyone who might be listening or to the replay later, any final thoughts you'd like to share with us, Anita? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I just want to share one little simple technique that I teach people when they're
Yeah.
feeling overwhelmed, and anxious, because I feel like that's the challenge that a lot of us are facing all the time right now. There's just so much coming at us, and we can get really anxious and overwhelmed. And I call it the stop technique. And it's an acronym, and S stands for stop, so stop what you're doing. T is take three deep, slow breaths. O, observe what's going around you, but most importantly, observe what's going on inside you. And then P is proceed with love. Ask yourself, what would love choose in this moment? And often love would choose to be kind to yourself. So that's just, it's a great little technique that 2 minutes can really pivot and help you change course in any kind of confrontational situation or whenever you're feeling anxious or overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's a big thing, 'cause that anxiety builds up, accumulates in it, and it gets exponentially worse. It feels like
Exactly.
if we don't start learning the ways to regulate. I think a lot of people talk about regulating our nervous systems and things like that. So that's a
Yeah.
great, I love the acronym too, being able to
It
memorize
helps.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop. I'm gonna use it. I like it, Anita. Thank you so much. And
Awesome.
yeah, I don't
Awesome.
know if we have any questions or comments, but thank you for everyone who's hopped on. And until next week, we're gonna meet again for another session of Embodied Ascension and Unity Consciousness and Quantum Leap program. So, Anita, it was great having you today, and I hope to have you again in the future. This was great.
I would love it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. All right.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode today. Please share your biggest takeaway with me via our community. For new listeners, thank you for tuning in. I invite anyone to explore the resources, links, and show notes available on my website, www.adinamovana.com. If a topic or discussion piqued your curiosity or interest today during the show, you can easily find it there at that website. And if you have any specific topics you would like me to cover, feel free to email me at em@adinamovana.com. Thank you again for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week on Into the Light.